This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The damage assessment's underway already after a tornado yesterday tore through Moore, Oklahoma, a suburb of Oklahoma City. Dozens were injured, but remarkably, no one was killed in yesterday's devastating twister, something Oklahoma City Mayor Kirk Humphreys told the CBS Early Show today residents are extremely thankful for.
It really is. I mean, we find ourselves rejoicing that there were no deaths. There were slightly over 100 injuries, but compared to what we've seen in previous storms, we think it's amazing. We're very thankful.
Hundreds of homes were destroyed. Scores of others were also severely damaged. Another twister did some serious damage as well in Lawrence, Kansas overnight. No one was killed in that instance either. Meanwhile, flooding is plaguing parts of the South, where some evacuated residents are still waiting to return home. Nearly 1,600 people in East Tennessee were forced out of the way of fast-moving water. Tennessee Valley Authority officials are estimating damage there will total at least $17 million. In Georgia, flooding from the Chattahoochee River forced the Department of Transportation there to shut down Interstate 85 across the Alabama-Georgia state line. Officials are expecting the river to hit its highest crest since 1961. The U.S. House of Representatives expected to give final approval today to hundreds of billions of dollars in additional tax cuts. Missouri Congressman Roy Blunt says the bill will go a long way toward helping those especially hard hit by the nation's economic downturn.
The House version's focused on getting as much money to small businesses and American families as possible, to making profit a good thing again for American companies so that they're encouraged to pay dividends to people that anticipate those dividends as part of their retirement income.
President Bush, of course, has been pushing hard for the 10-year, $550 billion tax cut package. He originally wanted about $725 billion in cuts to stimulate the economy. He has, however, since agreed to this now lower figure. The House recently included the $550 billion tax cut plan and a broad budget blueprint. Today's expected action, though, would put it into specific legislation to be forwarded on to the Senate for informal vote.
Your mission, Mother's Day shopping. Your goal, find gifts that make mom happy. Your rendezvous point, Radio Shack. Consider the following: a talking picture frame to hold snapshots and a recording of how much you love her, $9.99. The Honeywell Environizer, an electronic air purifier to help mom breathe easier, $99.99. Palmzire PDA to keep mom organized and on schedule, $99.99. Should you fail these objectives, Mother's Day could self-destruct. Good luck, shopper. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like
belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a
tightwad?
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Members of the United Nations Security Council today are expected to meet and discuss a U.S.-backed proposal to remove sanctions against Iraq. Their resolution would also phase out the current U.N. oil for food program over the next 4 months and then give the U.S. and Britain control of Iraq's oil revenues for the next year. More than 100 people are thought dead now after a freak aircraft accident. The passengers were blown out of the Russian-made plane over the Democratic Republic of Congo when a cargo door accidentally opened during flight. Officials say everyone is, quote, presumed dead. That plane is believed to have been carrying 129 people.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
In an effort to keep the peace in the Senate, Majority Leader Bill Frist is introducing a plan today he hopes will solve an impasse over President Bush's judicial nominees. Democrats are using stalling tactics and filibusters to delay the approval of two controversial appeals court justices. Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter also has his own plan.
We could test it on a rule, challenge, without getting into too many technicalities, the ruling of the chair that the filibuster could proceed, and then with just 51 votes, we could, right, with just a bare majority, not having to go to 60, we could stop the filibuster.
Current rules call for an unlimited debate that can only be stopped by votes of 60 of the 100 senators. Frist's plan would force a vote within 2 weeks. The White House, angry over the delay, has labeled Senate Democrats, quote, obstructionists. An anti-abortion activist, James Kopp, who admitted fatally shooting abortion doctor Burnett Slepian with the intent to injure him, will be sentenced today. Indications are prosecutors will seek the maximum sentence of 25 years to life in prison. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power spark plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power spark plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclist, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheeled vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting on terrestrial radio stations from the Western Americas to the Eastern Americas, from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America, from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia on www.ieamericaradio.com and rebroadcast from 5 to 7 and let's see, 5 to 7 and 7 to 9, right, on radiopower.org. Here you are. We're bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle. And some would say, well, that's the vast left-wing conspiracy, the liberal media. Well, I suggest take no imitations. Right here on the Tom Hartman Program, your vast left-wing conspiracy. And one of our listeners apparently thought so, Lynn, doesn't say where she's writing from. She sent me this screed that went around the Internet about 4 or 5 years ago. It was apparently composed by some high school kid because the references in it, it's been so thoroughly debunked. And, you know, in fact, you find it on the debunking sites, suggesting that Jane Fonda was essentially spitting on, you know, prisoners of war and whatnot. And so she sends me this five-year-old piece of high school nonsense. And then she says, in this email called Your Liberal Heroine, and she says, I hope this makes you proud, Tom. I also notice how much easier it is to get in touch with Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh than it is to get in touch with you. All of your excuses aside, they also have to fight off spam bots, too. I'm glad that you're so upset that the American public doesn't buy into your left-wing crap. Insincerely, Lynn. P.S. Move to France. You'll be a big hit there. Well, actually, I lived in Germany for a year, Lynn. I suppose that will give you some aid and comfort. always nice to know that people are listening. Klaus in Eugene, Oregon, posted a message on our message board, the bulletin board at tomhartman.com, www.tomhartman.com, where we also have a chat room, which is open during the show. And if you want to go in there and post any messages, I'll read them. The chat room is different from the message board. The chat room is in real time. The message board is continuously scrolling. It's got, I don't know, I think about 10,000 messages on it now. It's been up for a while. But anyway, Klaus from Eugene says, the perversions of power, the anti-spiritual mechanics of corruption and control, politics and religion, or how to separate cults from culture. Can there be such a thing as a human system that does not suffer from human corruption? Klaus, this, I think, is one of the key questions, and it's one that I want to get into in this segment. He says, they've taken over my planet. They've and they've been working on owning my body and mind my whole life, but they'll never take me alive. And then Bill in Illinois responds. He says, kind of ticks you off, don't it, Klaus? I hope you and me aren't the only people in this forum upset over all this. Well, I suspect that there's a whole bunch. And thank you for the feedback and the perspectives. The question that I'd like to pose, and I'd like you to think about, and if you have thoughts on it, give us a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. The question is, which vision of America is more democratic, the Jeffersonian vision or the neoconservative vision? Now, let me define these. Let me explain what I mean by these terms. Most of you who are students of history know what I'm talking about, but a lot of people haven't really dug into the history of Jefferson and the founders of America broadly, although I would say that this debate that's going on is really a clash of worldviews. And it's a clash of worldviews that's been going on since long before 1776, but in what we call America, certainly since that time. That back then, the Jeffersonian view, you had Jefferson, Franklin, Madison, and on something sort of close to the neoconservative view, you had Alexander Hamilton as the most outspoken proponent. In 1780, as I recall, it was 85 in the opening of the Constitutional Convention. It might have been 83. Anyhow, in the 1780s, when the Constitutional Convention was opened, Alexander Hamilton got up and his initial speech said, "There has never been a form of government better." I'm paraphrasing here. I don't remember the exact quote, but it's easy to find. "There's never been a form of government better than that of the monarchy." And he was proposing that we should try to institute essentially a monarchical system here in the United States. And the main piece of it, was the idea that people are basically bad and evil and need to have a powerful father figure, an authoritarian male figure, controlling them. And Jefferson, on the other hand, was of the opinion that people are basically, and Franklin also was very outspoken about this, and Madison and many of the others, that people are basically good. And that the purpose of government, rather than to be the controlling father figure that clamps down on people, instead should be there to promote the common good, to guarantee everybody an opportunity to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as opposed to the Hamiltonian, what we would today call the neoconservative worldview, of restriction, constriction, careful control, this clamping down. And so how do we see this being played out? Well, right now, in the neoconservative movement, there is this... I would say a bankruptcy of ideas. I mean, they're basically drawing on this old notion, and the variations of it come out like, well, only deregulation can benefit. We have to get the government out of the business of business. Well, interestingly, if you read Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, published in 1776, the same year as the American Revolution, when he mentions the invisible hand of the marketplace, he says that the invisible hand of the marketplace is the thing that government has to control. That democracy and laissez-faire capitalism are at conflict with each other at some level. That we want to create a system that has capitalism and, more importantly, has free enterprise. And yet, without some regulation of that, you'll end up with a system where the big get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until basically at the very end there's only one corporation left, that it's subsumed everybody else. And Adam Smith was, you know, very clear, you've got to do something about that. And George Soros, in his book, The Crisis of Capitalism, here's a billionaire, one of America's most wealthy and successful businessmen, writes this letter, this book, The Crisis of Capitalism, in which he points out the same thing, and a great article in the Atlantic of the same title. And so this, you know, how does this work? The neocon agenda is one of absolute control. And they're convinced that that control is actually a good and necessary thing. And I would suggest that the progressive or liberal worldview, and frankly, I think the middle-of-the-road worldview, is that people are essentially good and that the job of government should be to provide space for them. We have Lee in Santa Fe. He wants to make some comments about the intent behind the government. Lee, welcome to the Tom Harpin program.
I really like what you're talking about. It's so erudite and everything, but the only problem I have with this is you can take any system of government, any theory, turn it on its head and to make spin out of it, and then the intent behind it is not just control because you believe that people are basically bad or less control because people are basically good, but what can be benefited, what kind of profit, who's going to profit, who's going to get more of that aphrodisiac of power, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I you can take anything and turn it on its head. I'm sure communism, if we were really incorruptible, might even be a good thing. Who knows? But, that's my comment.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lee, and I appreciate your joining us here in our radio home.
You guys are great. You really are great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's really great to be here on the IE America Radio Network. I think that, you know, if you look at communism, you discover that it works in small systems, like the kibbutz of Israel, for example, where everybody knows everybody. And there's a British, I don't recall if he's a philosopher or economist, and I forget his name. I reference him in Unequal Protection, but it's not right at the tip of my brain right now. Anyhow, he suggests that he had done some research, and he found that whenever a group of people exceeds 150, that internal social structures begin to break down and pathological behaviors begin to emerge. People will start to steal from each other and things like that. As long as it's below 150, those problems generally don't happen. And interestingly, most tribal people keep to fewer than 150 people. And I think that that's what happened with communism, is that it might work in a tribe. It's actually the traditional tribal form of government. It might work on a kibbutz, but it didn't work when they tried to apply it to a nation state. You know, it just crashed and burned. So, Lee, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Here we have in today's Wall Street Journal, let's go through a couple of things that kind of highlight this. Which vision of America is more democratic, the Jeffersonian or the neoconservative? In the Washington Wire, in today's Wall Street Journal, they just kind of in along the side, there's this discussion about Mitch Daniels and his leaving, you know, possibly running for governor, and that, you know, Bush school chum Clay Johnson is going to be running the OBM. And then they say, Johnson met this week with Senator Berg, who has blocked him to protest administration outsourcing of federal jobs. Why is the administration outsourcing federal jobs? Well, it turns out that there's this big, you know, privatization program that's going on in the government. We're actually hiring private defense contractors to even play the role of the United States military. And the reason is twofold. Number one, it generates private profits, which then get donated back to politicians as campaign donations and further the power of those politicians. And number two, corporations are not answerable to the we, the people, the way government is. I mean, when the founders created this country, the idea was that we were not going to have one of the three classic forms of governance that had happened over the 6,000 years that preceded the United States, with the exception of a little 200-year blip in Athenian Greece, that where either people were ruled by warlords, they were ruled by theocrats, or they were ruled by the rich, a system called feudalism. But instead, we would have this fourth form of government where people would rule themselves, where the power and authority of the governing body would come from we the people. Well, if it is we the people who run the government, then we own the government. The government is accountable to us. The government has to tell us what's going on. The government has to be transparent, and that transparency is only eliminated or reduced when the national interest, which is we the people also, is absolutely requires it. For example, you know, military secrets and things like that. But we have now an administration that is more obsessed with secrecy than any in the history of the United States. And by outsourcing these federal jobs, they're able to make more and more things more and more secret because of the veil of secrecy that corporations have because of this bizarre 1886 Supreme Court ruling. That's a whole other rant, but we'll continue with this when we come back. This is Tom Harpin on the IE America Radio Network.
Feed someone who is hungry, and you will feel full. Give a child a reason to dream, and you will feel at peace. Help a teen reclaim his youth, and you will feel years younger. When you help the Salvation Army, everybody feels better. Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org. Need knows no season.
This May, Aleve invites you to join us in the fight against arthritis, the country's number one cause of disability. That's when Aleve will partner with the Arthritis Foundation to sponsor the annual Arthritis Walk. When you join the walk, you'll help Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation in their efforts to control, prevent, and cure this crippling disease that affects one in every three Americans. For more on the Arthritis Walk and Aleve's all-day arthritis relief, go to Aleve.com and join the team to fight arthritis. Use Aleve as directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Which vision of America is more democratic, the Jeffersonian or the neoconservative? The idea that control is the value and the power of government, or that empowerment is the value and the power of government. I would suggest that there's this worldview battle going on, and we're seeing it played right across the screen, that it may even derive from some basic psychological thing. In the Myers-Briggs test, which is one of these psychological evaluations that a lot of employers are using now to determine, you know, where people work best together in work groups and things like that. The Myers-Briggs test, the last question is a set of questions that elicit whether you are a judger or a perceiver. And this goes back to the work of Carl Jung back in the 19th century and early 20th century. And the judgers are people who absolutely see the world in black and white. They don't understand the concept of compromise or middle ground. You are either safe or you're threatened. You're either good or you're evil, and there's nothing else. And psychologically speaking, judgers make up about 20% of the population. And there are some who suggest that this may even have a neurological basis, that it may have to do with child-rearing practices, or it may have to do with genetics. There's a big debate about this. But what we know is that about 20% of the population are judgers. And there are judgers on the right, and there are judgers on the left. There are judgers, you know, all over, politically speaking. But they certainly tend to gravitate toward fundamentalist points of view, both on the right and the left, because in their world, it can only be one way, and the other way, And everything else is part of the other way, and that's not viable. And then there are perceivers, which constitute roughly 80% of you know, people running around loose. And the perceivers are the folks who, they can see the polar extremes, but they also see the stuff in between. And one of the reasons that we, when Louise and I were first putting together this show, we said we want our slogan to be Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, is because I'm very much a perceiver. I can see the extremes. I've hung out in those places politically in over the course of my life, in the many years of my life. But I'm most comfortable looking at, you know, the broad overview. And so we wanted to say the radical middle. Now, of course, the radical middle represents, in some ways, I think we represent some of the traditional conservative values and some of the liberal progressive values, many of the liberal progressive values, values like a clean environment, healthy food, air and water, the government not being in our bedrooms and in our lives intrusively, government being here to support the values and progress, you know, raising our children right, helping our schools, things like this. I'm not sure that those are left or right. I think that those are us in the radical middle. But what we have now is, in the neoconservative agenda, this new feudalism. I would suggest that this is a return to an ancient system, an old system, a very familiar system called feudalism, a system of rule by the rich. One of the three historic ways that people were ruled before we came along in 1776 with the idea that people don't need to be ruled, that we, the people, are going to rule ourselves through a government that we elect, without the interference of any other party. This is why for more than the first 100 years of the existence of the United States, there were laws in place that made it a felony in every state in the Union for corporations to donate money to politicians or to try to influence legislation or to lobby. Because we the people are the only ones who can vote. We the people should be the only ones involved in politics, was the thinking, the ideas of the founders of this country. So we have now this bully syndrome, this fearful perspective. For example, on March 25th, 2003, there's a very little noticed story. President Bush issued Executive Order 13,292 on classifying documents for reasons of national security. Really tightened things up. We'll get back into this after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio, 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Class action lawsuits against 20 companies who are alleged to have aided and abetted in South Africa's apartheid regime may be settled with the help of the Anglican Church. An archbishop has announced that lawyers both for the companies, which include such giants as BP, Daimler, Chrysler, and Citigroup, and the millions of potential plaintiffs, have agreed to church-sponsored mediation over the issues raised in the suits. The scheduling of talks has already begun.
First, it was the Department of Homeland Security, then the Justice Department and the National Imagery and Mapping Agency. Now, the Pentagon wants to strip its workers of their union rights. A bill before the House called the Civil Service and National Security Personnel Improvement Act would revoke the collective bargaining rights of Defense Department employees. It would also introduce a pay-for-performance system, remove the right to appeal firings to a third party, and even revoke a prohibition against nepotism, that is, the hiring or promotion of relatives.
The Canadian province of British Columbia is so strapped for cash that it's putting a major toll highway up for sale, and a union is rumored to be one of the potential buyers. The president of British Columbia's Teamsters Union thinks the highway might make a nice investment for the union's pension fund. Toll road workers, who are represented by the National Union of Government Employees, are opposed to any privatization effort.
Union janitors in San Diego have a chance to vote on new contracts after a hard-fought round of negotiations bore fruit this week. Two separate contracts would reward suburban and downtown janitors unevenly. Downtown janitors will vote on a five-year deal that would bring a 13% wage increase and family health care to about 300 custodians. But a separate two-year package for about 1,200 suburban janitors would bring no health benefits and would boost wages by 4.8%.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff. How's that for sage advice? Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it? Join me, Nancy Skinner, for Radio Evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, if you're one of the millions who own one of them gas, cranking, pistons, clanking, air-polluting, smoke belts, and four-wheel buggies from Detroit City, then pay attention. I'm about to sing your song, Tom.
Now, I have to say, I like my automobile. Anyway, on March 25th, 2003, President Bush issued Executive Order 13292 on classifying documents for reasons of national security. And by the way, welcome back. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network on Sirius Satellite Channel 145 and on radio stations across the country. We're... What did you just point at? Oh, and our phone number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. President Nixon had the reputation, this is from an article that was in the Montpelier Times Argus, this obscure little newspaper here in Vermont, on May 7th. It didn't make the national press for some reason. President Nixon had the reputation of running the most secretive administration, but even he favored declassification of older records, if only to embarrass his Democratic predecessors. Bush's new executive order, however, backtracks on the government's willingness to declassify or even consider declassifying records that are many years old and have little or no current impact on national security. This order covers far more than what traditionally was thought of as national security information. For example, it covers trade agreements. The purpose of this change is not to protect the United States, this article says, from foreign invasion, but to be sure that organizations such as Public Citizen, Ralph Nader's group, that raise questions about how new potential trade agreements or how disputes are being handled under existing trade agreements do not find out what our trade negotiators are doing until it's too late to stop them. Public Citizen has posted this information on its website, bushsecrecy.org, www.bushsecrecy.org. One more step down the road toward government of the iron fist, as opposed to government of the nurturing form. President Franklin Roosevelt said, "The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much. It is whether we provide enough for those who have too little." There's a good corollary quote to that from Thomas Paine. I see if I can remember it correctly. He said something to the effect of, I'm not upset if some people have much, so long as it doesn't mean that others have nothing. And I'll have to find the exact quote. It was just a great quote. Anyhow, we have in today's, let's see, what paper was this? I think the New York Times. With tussles, the House renews a job program. Maybe this is the Burlington Free Press. Anyhow, it says lawmakers just approved a bill along party lines, 220 to 204, that its sponsors said would provide needed training and employment counseling at a time of rapid rising unemployment. And this was promoted as a job program. In fact, the headline says, House renews a job program. This is the power of framing an issue. I got an email this morning from the Republican National Committee, RNC, saying, they were calling out the troops. They said, call your congressman or your senator and say that you want to have tax relief. Well, as soon as we say relief, what does that imply? That you're being relieved from something that's painful. Now, some people would say, yeah, taxes are always painful. But I would say, well, wait a minute. I like the fact that there's a police department here in town that actually can, you know, track down bad guys. That there's a fire department that will put out fires. I like the fact that my street is paved. I like the fact that there are street lights. I'm willing to pay for those things. I don't need to be relieved of the opportunity to participate in the government that I believe I am empowering, that as a citizen, you know, that our government derives its power from us. So, anyhow, the Democrats were opposed to this. They said the measure adopted today did nothing to extend help for unemployment and unemployed workers whose benefits will run out at the end of the month. Well, if this does nothing to help unemployed workers, how is it that not only the Republicans but the press are calling it a job program? This is the power of framing an argument. And when we read this thing, we figure out what's really going on here. Republican backers of the bill have been accused by Democrats of trying to roll back civil rights protections by allowing groups with religious affiliations that receive federal money to limit employment to those sharing their religious views. Some compared it to the old practice of posting signs like, "No Irish Need Apply." Nancy Pelosi points out that this is, quote, profoundly unwise to allow the federal government to fund religious discrimination. Now, the Republicans, on the other hand, say, well, you know, our giving money to religious organizations and telling them that they can use our money to only hire people who are of their worldview and their affiliation, their denomination, is okay because, well, Here's the quote. Republican advocates of the provision say they were simply restoring an exemption to discrimination law provided in the original 1964 Civil Rights Act. And several Republicans said Planned Parenthood accepts federal grant money but is not forced to hire employees opposed to abortion. That sounds like a good argument. But wait a second. Agreeing with abortion is not a religion. You know, beer companies can refuse to hire anti-alcohol campaigners. But they can't refuse to hire Methodists. We decided some time ago in this country that there were a couple of criteria: race, gender, and religion, that you couldn't discriminate against people based upon. Now, within religious institutions, we made, you know, certain, you know, we acknowledged, you know, the Catholic Church is not going to hire a Protestant woman to be a priest. Okay, that's fine. As long as they're not using our money, they can do anything they want, you know, within reason, within the law. But when it's federal money, it at least has to hold to the federal standards. The standards which were defined by that vision of America, which brings us back to this question for this hour. And, you know, if you have thoughts on this, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Which vision of America is more democratic, the Jeffersonian or the neoconservative? 1-800-825-5937. This article goes on to say that the House Republicans are talking about abandoning the initiative and pushing, you know, this thing failed. And so now they're going to, quote, try to enact its provisions step by step in bills like the job training proposal. And Democrats, there's strong opposition among Democrats to language they say sanctions discrimination by religious groups that receive federal money. So on that battle goes. Now here's this is a really interesting one. In the news report today, and this is again, which vision of America is more democratic, the Jeffersonian or the neoconservative? In the news that we heard at the bottom of the hour, as I recall, or maybe it was at the beginning of the hour, they said something to the news reporter said something to the effect of Democrats are trying to delay the nomination of Estrada and what's her name? Priscilla Owens, these two federal judges. Well, in fact, that's not what the Democrats are trying to do. The Democrats are trying to stop, to block, to prevent the nomination of these two people for the federal judgeship. They're not trying to delay it. But the Republicans are trying to spin it to be perceived as a delay. And so the Republicans, well, we'll get to that in just a second. So here in today's Wall Street Journal, today's New York Times, the Senate Judiciary Committee voted today along straight party lines to send to the full Senate one of President Bush's nominees for the Federal Appeals Court, blah, blah, blah. And it's Carolyn B. I think it's pronounced Kuhl, K-U-H-L. Maybe it's Kuhl. To the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. That's the Northern California Circuit Court. Now, this is really important who these people are. Not only because of what they rule on, but because these circuit court judges are the ones that generally end up on the Supreme Court. Carolyn B. K-U-H-L, Kuhl, I'll have to listen to a news report and catch it, the pronunciation, that she was a lawyer in the Reagan administration, and as a lawyer in the Reagan administration, she pressed strongly for the overturn of Roe v. Wade. She also argued that Bob Jones University should have its tax-exempt status restored despite its policy banning interracial dating. But those were the small issues in the minds of those people who voted against her nomination. The one issue that many of them, the one issue of the many they raised that attracted Mr. Spector's concern was her ruling in a 1999 case from her time in the California bench. Judge Kuhl dismissed a privacy suit brought by a breast cancer patient who objected when she discovered that her doctor had allowed a drug company salesman to view his examination of her breasts. The woman had testified that an unidentified man was present when her doctor had her undress. She said that when she grew flushed and tried to use a small electric fan, the man laughed at her. When she discovered later from the receptionist that the man was a drug company salesman, she sued under a new California law. Judge Kuhl, this person who the Republicans just put forward as the next person to be as a circuit court judge and ultimately on the Supreme Court, Judge Kuhl ruled that because Mrs. Sanchez-Scott had not explicitly objected to the man's presence, quote, I think it cannot be said that there was a reasonable expectation of privacy. In other words, when you go to your doctor and you're in your doctor's office and you're taking off your clothes, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy. An appeals court, back to the article here, an appeals court strongly criticizing her reasoning unanimously overturned her ruling. Senator Orrin Hatch, on the other hand, says she has an exemplary record, has been rated well qualified by the American Bar Association, and has wide support among Republican lawyers in California. Now, here we get to the meat of this issue. This is where the kicker is. This is where you discover what's really going on. Says the Wall Street Journal, or no, what was this? Anyway, AP story. As to the obvious question of why the Republicans keep calling for votes they will certainly lose. Why would the Republicans keep calling for votes they will certainly lose? The answer became a little clearer this week. Republicans appear to be enduring the serial defeats to enhance their arguments that the system is broken. This is a system that we've had for 220-some-odd years. 227 years, I think? Well, let's just overthrow the Constitution. That the system is broken and a drastic solution is justified. Among the proposals Republicans have advanced is one in which they would use their majority to prohibit filibusters from being used to block judicial confirmation votes. And this is what you heard in the news a few moments ago. They want to rewrite the rules. Now, the danger of that is that they might get what they want. You know, it's interesting, a Republican congressman, I don't recall his name right off the bat, but it was in the news a week or so ago, has proposed a constitutional amendment to roll back the constitutional amendment that the Republicans put through during FDR's term in office that prohibits a president from running for a third term in office. And they're saying, hey, we've got this popular guy, George Bush. If we can keep the wars going, we can keep getting him reelected. Let's have him in here for a third term in office before we then, you know, put his brother Jeb up for election. And so, you know, I mean, sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for. You might get it. The Republicans were very happy to push this through under FDR. Then under Reagan, when it was clear that Reagan could have won a third term in office, they were saying, geez, maybe we made a mistake back then. I think the question really should be, what best serves democracy? Not what best serves our party right now. Can't we just begin to agree on... I know I'm sounding like Rodney King here, but, you know, can't we all just be nice to each other? Here, and also back to this worldview thing. Which vision of America is more democratic, the Jeffersonian or the neoconservative? This happened at Oakland High School this week. Two students made comments about the President of the United States. This was in a debate that was being held in the class about whether or not the United States should go to war with Iraq. And a teacher did not like what these two students said and called the Secret Service. The Secret Service showed up and, quote, the students were grilled by federal agents without legal counsel or their parents present, end quote. This is from KRON 4, Channel 4's news in California. When one of the students asked of the Secret Service agents, do we have to talk now? Can we be silent? Can we get legal counsel? They were told, quote, by the Secret Service agents, these kids say they were told, quote, we own you. You don't have any legal rights, end quote. And one of their teachers, a teacher by the name of Lopez, says, I can tell you from the looks on these children's faces, I tell you the looks on those children's faces, I don't know if they'll say anything about anything ever again. Is that what we want? I don't think we want that, says Lopez, says the teacher. The idea being, of course, that schools, historically, that the classroom is the setting for this free expression of ideas. But I would suggest that the neoconservative mindset that says the world is a dark, dangerous, hostile place, and we need powerful, authoritarian, male authority figures to absolutely control things, that from that worldview, the worldview of right-wing talk radio, the worldview of the neoconservative, not the true conservatives, this is not a worldview that Dwight Eisenhower would have agreed with. But in the neoconservative worldview, the neocons, nobody calls them neocon men, I wonder why. Anyway, in that neoconservative worldview, that this is exactly what they want. They want to scare these kids to the point that they will never speak their minds again. This is the desirable outcome. Let's suppress dissent. Let's shut people up. We will not tolerate people questioning how things are. We see this happening right now with Olympia Snowe. Today's Wall Street Journal. White House and Senate Republican leaders got the Club for Growth to pull new TV ads against Republican Senator Snowe of Maine and Senator Chafee. They're concerned that these people, Chafee, may actually leave the Republican Party. Moore, the guy from the Club for Growth, says, we're definitely going to continue to hammer at her. More about that story when we come back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
It's Twix.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand, that's how it's going down. Ed Lover is Dr. Dre style. Rolling through the streets and doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all.
Free, 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 free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee.
Delivered hot,
fresh and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door, it's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC yesterday.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you Uncommon Sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, there was a time when if someone told you to do something, you did it. Bam, right on. No questions asked. It was yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You never said no, you know? But you know, things are changing nowadays. It's a new day, babies. Folks want to take their own lives into their hands and make their own choices. No longer do they want to go along with the program because everybody says right. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe and maybe not. Going along with the program, it's getting harder and harder not to go along with the program. Two kids in California spoke out in their classroom, and their teacher, who's disagreed with their politics, calls the Secret Service. And these guys come in and terrorize them. This was not a threat against the president. This was an expression of opinion. How strange does it get? Well, Steve Moore, you're probably not familiar with his name. Maybe you are. He's the head of this Club for Growth. And here, this is so revealing. See, you have to read the media of we'll get to how they refer to themselves in just a moment, like the Wall Street Journal or Fortune or Barron's or Business Week, to really understand what's the agenda here. Steve Moore muzzled hardly, says the conservative anti-tax activist. White House and Senate Republican leaders, this is from today's Wall Street Journal, get his Club for Growth to pull new TV ads against Senator Snow, we mentioned before, and Chafee. But the tax bill late yesterday, to assuage Snow inflames the group. Quote, we're definitely going to continue to hammer her, Moore says. And then he continues, our members, the Wall Street Journal notes, investor-class Republicans consider her Olympia Benedict Arnoldus Snow, says Moore. Adds the and his group, sponsored by investor-class Republicans, to quote the Wall Street Journal, this is not a left-leaning public. These are folks talking to themselves. I'm suggesting that a strong middle class, not just a strong, wealthy, investor-class Republicans, but a strong middle class is vital to democracy. This is item number 4 in our Bill of Rights for the 21st century that James Madison in 1792 defined this very clearly, that we must have a strong middle class if we are to have a strong democracy. And government plays a role in that. It actually does. Is the vision of America of the Jeffersonians more democratic than that of the neoconservatives? Who knows? I think the Jeffersonians have it. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be back next hour. We've got some great stuff on the media. Join us again in just a few minutes.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. More severe weather for the nation's midsection over the last 24 hours. A tornado slammed an Oklahoma City suburb as well as Lawrence, Kansas. The twister that hit Moore, Oklahoma, injured more than 100 people, five of them critically, and destroyed at least 300 homes. Oklahoma City Emergency Management Coordinator Ronnie Warren says they're still trying to get the community back to normal.
We've got the interstates open that were affected in the area. We are now in the process of getting the power lines rendered safe and able to get the major thoroughfares open. And we're just going, you know, block to block to make sure that the travel is going to be safe for the citizens.
In Lawrence, Kansas, officials say nearly 30 homes were severely damaged, but only one person suffered any injuries. They were reportedly minor. Emergency service workers are on hand in both places, helping those who need a place to stay. President Bush says the judicial confirmation process is now, quote, broken and it must be fixed. Mr. Bush is again prodding the Senate to clear stalled judicial nominations. During a White House speech earlier, the president accused Democrats of being obstructionists and promoting old grudges.
The bitterness and partisanship that have taken over the judicial confirmations process also threatened judicial independence.
Senate Democrats are filibustering to block two controversial nominees to the U.S. Court of Appeals, Miguel Estrada and Priscilla Owen. President Bush calls their treatment a disgrace and says federal courts are now in crisis because of high vacancies. Senate Democrats have accused the president of trying to fill the bench with conservative ideologues. They also note Republicans blocked several of former President Clinton's judicial nominees as well. A Senate panel has approved a plan providing about $350 billion in tax cuts over the next decade, well below what President Bush originally wanted. That package, however, is expected to change once gets to the full Senate. Remarkably, the president's tax plan is gaining popularity. A new USA Today CNN Gallup poll finds 52% of Americans think it is a good idea. That's up 10% from 2 weeks ago, despite many lawmakers raising concerns about the prudence of new tax cuts amidst record-setting federal deficits.
It's almost Mother's Day, and you know what that means. It's time to pick up the phone. A new Verizon wireless phone for mom from Radio Shack. Get her the Samsung A310 for just $24.99 after Samsung mail-in rebate. That's a $75 savings. Radio Shack's experts will even help you choose the service plan and accessories mom will love. So pick up the phone and make mom's day at Radio Shack. Offer good through 5/25 with 2-year activation. $175 early termination fee. Supply phone is $249.99 without activation. See stores for details.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like
belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a
tightwad?
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Two Afghans with suspected links to Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda have been arrested in Pakistan. The arrests reportedly made in raids on the outskirts of Karachi. Authorities also seized weapons and a satellite phone during those arrests. Last month, Pakistani officials picked up six suspected al-Qaeda members. Northwest Airlines is asking now to start service to Iraq. Northwest has operated flights to Baghdad in the past and wants to add service to Baghdad onto current flights from Detroit to Amsterdam, according to Business Journal. Northwest also wants its application expedited, ruling out the chance for public hearings on the issue.
How is the GM 24-hour test drive different from the average test drive? It's about, 23 hours and 45 minutes longer. Long enough to take a GM car or truck to work, to keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
I'm asleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
New research suggests the SARS virus might be around for a while. The theory comes today as Chinese health officials report 118 new cases, bringing the total there to more than 4,800. The number of deaths in that country is now 230. The latest now from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Scientists have compared samples of the severe acute respiratory syndrome virus from Singapore with samples from other countries where it struck. They've discovered the main components have remained unchanged as the infection spread. According to the Lancet Medical magazine, the findings suggest SARS is well adapted to resisting attack by the human immune system and so doesn't need to evolve rapidly. But the stability of the virus also means that any vaccine could remain effective for a long period of time. However, scientists note that other vaccines against animal coronavirus diseases, the family to which the SARS virus belongs, have often been unsuccessful. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
Russia, meanwhile, has ordered its airlines to stop selling tickets to travelers from the Far East in an effort to prevent the spread of SARS. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, running whitewater rapids. What a thrilling spring sport. In a raft. But in a car, it's a ride that may literally take your breath away. When I come back, I'll bail you out.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
No one intentionally confuses cars for recreational rafts. But if you find yourself in a stream of late-melting snows or heavy spring rains, remember the kid's toy, a pogo stick. P-O-G-O. P, pop seat belts. After you go in water, because they protect you on impact. O, open the window quickly, especially if you have power windows. G-O, get out. No explanation necessary. So make sure your whitewater adventure is with a guide and a paddle. Heed warnings of washed-out roads. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com, rebroadcast from 5 to 9 p.m. every day on www.radiopower.org. Broadcasting on radio stations from the West Coast to the East Coast and on the Sirius satellite, channel 145, from the Arctic Circle to the equator, from coast to coast on Sirius Left. We have two messages posted to the message board today here just in the last few minutes. Jim from Philadelphia. This is, Jim has done a good job of articulating I'll just read it out rather than describing it. He says, a warning from Scots historian Professor Alexander Tyler, circa 1787, regarding the fall of the Athenian Republic. He says, a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves money, generous gifts, from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most money from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilization has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, and from dependency back into bondage. Nice try, Jim. I would suggest that, first of all, this couldn't possibly be from a Scottish historian in 1787 referring to the Athenian Republic, because in Athens, during the time that the Athenian democracy existed, there was no voting. There were no candidates. So to have to be quoting somebody, and in the 1780s, they knew that. I mean, everybody had studied Greek democracy. It was a lottery system. Your name went into the lottery, and if your name was drawn, then you had to serve in the polis for 1 year. So to say a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government, it can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves money from the public treasury. No, sorry, there were no voters then. So I would submit to you that this is one of those many apocryphal things, one of those many made-up, presented-as-something-else things that the conservatives have been putting out over the years, over the many years, to say, this is the worldview that we'd like you to adopt, and we're going to rewrite history to get you to think that this is how it's always been done. The fact of the matter is that the first democracy in history, in the entire 7,000-year history of human civilization that has sustained itself more than 40 or 50 years, that where we had elected representatives, and this is in the context of what we would call modern Western civilization or modern civilization. I mean, certainly many tribal peoples have done this for many years, the Iroquois Confederacy being the one on which the American Constitution was largely based. But we were the first where we voted for our elected representatives. And yes, there have been cases where elected representatives used the public weal, the public wealth, by the consent of the governed, to improve the lives of those people who voted for them. Franklin Roosevelt's a great example. Although you could say that was continued by Richard Nixon, and it's being continued by George Bush right now. Billions of dollars are being given by this administration, not to the voters, you and me, but to the people who influence the voters, the multinational corporations, that then give hundreds of millions of dollars to that party. So, yeah, I'd say, you know, we've got a breakdown of the system here. But it's not a break, you know, when Roosevelt, or for example, Jack Kennedy, Carolyn Kennedy just wrote a letter to Steve Moore, the guy who is behind the group that is, what do they call it, the Club for Growth, that's running these anti-Olympia Snow, anti-George Voinovich ads. Carolyn Kennedy wrote a letter to him asking that he stop using her father's name to promote the Bush tax cuts. And, of course, Rush Limbaugh has been running clips of Jack Kennedy. You know, we need tax cuts to stimulate the economy. Well, the reality is that Kennedy's tax cuts, yes, they reduced the marginal tax rate at the top from 90 down to 70%. But nobody was paying 90% to begin with. The tax code was riddled with loopholes. Kennedy was basically saying, let's leave the top where it is. We'll call it what it truly is. You know, people are paying about 70% when they make $30, $40, $50, $100 million a year. People in the tax bracket of the Kennedy family. He knew this. But the Kennedy tax cut was overwhelmingly a tax cut for the middle class, for those people who actually were paying the taxes and who would actually spend money. To create an equivalent of it now, you'd have to have a tax, you'd have to have a reduction, not in the income tax, which people continue to pay after the first $81,000, but on the payroll tax, which is paid only by people who make $81,200 or $81,400 a year or less. So, no, I don't buy this idea that democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It's the argument for feudalism. For rule by the rich. There has to be somebody in charge. Yeah, okay. I agree. Somebody has to administer the commons. Somebody has to decide how pure our air is going to be, how fresh our water is going to be, all these things. But should that somebody be somebody elected by we the people, answerable to us? Or should it be a private corporation? Should we have feudalism or democracy? Joe in Brookings, Oregon has some opinions on this, I suspect. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Joe? Maybe not. Okay. Stephanie, we're not sure what happened to Joe. Maybe his cell phone croaked or something. Andiger, from the Netherlands, by the way, had responded to Joe from Philadelphia saying there's nothing neo about neocons, that this is an old point of view. I don't know. Jim, there was a time when I would have agreed with you, and I think that this is an important one for us to be considering. What is the the essence of it. What role do democratic governments play in things like, for example, ensuring an open and diverse media? Which brings us to our Berlusconi alert for the day. It's just amazing to me that this is getting no coverage in the United States. I mean, here is a guy. Yesterday we had the Prime Minister of Spain in the White House because he was a member of the Coalition of the Willing. Well, the Prime Minister of Italy was also a member of the Coalition of the Willing. Big backer, George Bush. Silvio Berlusconi. And however, he's not showing up in the White House because he's on trial right now for corruption. And here's this story from today's Wall Street Journal. Agents of the state-controlled television network, RAI. Now, this is the only one of the six networks in Italy which is not owned by Berlusconi. This is the Italian equivalent of national public radio or public television. The state-controlled television network, RAI, were sent to question the staff of one of its local channels over its coverage Monday of Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi's corruption trial after the government said that a program had mocked him. In Berlusconi's Italy, it's against the law to mock the prime minister. For his part, Mr. Berlusconi, a conservative, accused the traditionally liberal channel of organizing a, quote, ambush, end quote, at his appearance at the Milan trial by broadcasting the insults of a protester. This television station had the audacity to air a comment made by a protester at Berlusconi's trial. Journalists decried the internal RAI investigation. Mr. Berlusconi, who directly or indirectly runs six of the country's seven national channels, excuse me, I had said five out of six, it's six out of seven, directly or indirectly runs six of the country's seven national television networks, has long been accused of manipulating the media. I think I've told you this story. Berlusconi, you know, he's a small-time crooked businessman. He's being charged with bribing judges during a 1980s business deal. His buddy in this, Cesare Previti, just got nailed, 11 years in jail. And this apparently has frightened Berlusconi, who, by the way, is Italy's richest man. Berlusconi came to power by doing what? He started buying television networks. And when he owned all three networks, back when there was only three in Italy, he started a few since then. And he had the coverage secure. He decided to run for prime minister. His party, promoting his party, and surprise, surprise, he won. We must notice what's going on in the world. We must notice what's going on with things like this Berlusconi trial because it's so instructive to us. Does the government play a role in the media? Should it have some? Should it participate in deciding how much of the media can be controlled by the invisible hand of the marketplace? Adam Smith thought it should. Adam Smith was very clear in Wealth of Nations, published in 1776, that the role of government should be to prevent the invisible hand of the marketplace from strangling democracy. In England, they have a rule in place that actually prevents this. They have a rule, a law, actually, that says that bias in news reporting is not accepted. They have what they are called the due impartiality rules, and they have a board of people who are drawn from the citizenry. It's basically like a jury that decides if the media are displaying excessive bias. And so here we have in the Guardian today, or yesterday's Guardian. In the UK, the Murdoch-owned Fox News channel, whose determinedly patriotic stance during the Iraq invasion brought it critical notoriety but commercial success, is under investigation by television regulators in Britain for alleged bias. And they go on to point out Julian Petley, chairman of the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, called on the ITC to act against Fox News. He says, "I'm not in favor of censorship, but Murdoch would like to do with the British television news what he has done with newspapers." So they get Fox News over there. He says, which is to force people to compete on his own terms. So if we allow into Britain the kind of journalism represented by Fox, that would bring about its own form of censorship. Censorship by the corporate, of the corporate variety, where one corporation ends up owning so much of the media that it can say and do what it wants, that it can promote its own puppets into politics, as happened in Berlusconi's Italy. And that when people say, nah, I don't think so, I don't like that, I don't want to go along with that, then that form of government can say, yeah, we're going to nail you. And, you know, again, Berlusconi calling for the investigation into this journalist who dared broadcast a comment made by a protester about him. How dare they? That's Italy in the 21st century, with absolute control of the media by one corporation. Is this democracy? What role do democratic governments play in ensuring an open and diverse media? This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to call and comment, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937.
And now, our motivational speaker, Carl!
Who's ready to reach their inner winner?
Allergies have your sinuses congested? Afrin No Drip Nasal Spray starts to relieve congestion instantly. Sudafed takes up to 30 minutes to start working. And after 4 hours, Afrin still does a better job keeping nasal passages open.
Ah, now I feel like a winner.
Breathe better in an Afrin instant. Use as directed. Compared to Sudafed maximum strength 60 milligrams.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
One of the most absurd oxymorons in our country is shareholder democracy. Corporate image makers claim that these autocratic corporate empires are actually flowers of democracy, governed by and for the millions of little shareholders like old Aunt Emma in Dubuque with her 100 shares of Microsoft or Walmart or Disney. Hogwash. Start with the fact that nearly 60% of Americans own no stock at all, even through a mutual fund or 401k. And most of those who do own stock have only a pittance, like old Aunt Emma's 100 shares. Indeed, 90% of all corporate stock is firmly in the hands of the wealthiest 10% of Americans. But second, the CEOs and top managers rule their corporate fiefdoms with an iron fist, not tolerating even the pretense of shareholder democracy. Take Verizon, the phone giant. It recently held its annual election to choose some members of its board of directors. Great, elections. That's democracy in action, right? Not exactly. Every shareholder does get a ballot, but no opposition candidates are allowed on it. You only get to vote for the candidates selected by the CEO. You can choose to withhold your vote from management's hand-picked nominees, but it won't much matter. For even if the insider nominees get only one vote each, they win. Verizon is unabashed by this dictatorship. Nothing in law requires that an election provide a choice of candidates, says a Verizon document, adding, or that shareholders have a right to nominate candidates. Indeed, Verizon explicitly rejects democracy, claiming that if shareholders had a choice of more than one candidate for each board seat, quote, it would be difficult to predict which individual would be elected. Well, yes, democracy is crazy like that. This is Jim Hightower saying, Verizon is not alone. No corporation allows opposition candidates on its ballot. So much for shareholder democracy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Another day of life. Isn't it wonderful? Every day of life that we have. What great, what an extraordinary gift life is. Happy Mother's Day coming up here this weekend to the mothers who are listening, who have joined us, those of you who are mothers who have joined our radio home here. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Welcome back after this break. We're helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. And we've got Billy in Capitola, California, in corporate malfeasance. Welcome, Billy, to the Tom Hartman Program.
I love that saying, the radical middle.
Well, thank you.
Because that's who you're talking to when you talk to me. I am not a class war lefty.
Uh-huh.
I'm a millionaire that my wife made for me by working in a corporation that was honest and by her doing well. And they do.
God bless her.
Huh?
That's
God
great.
Bless her, absolutely. She's a wonderful woman. She's supported me all my life. I've never lifted a finger. And she's a great girl, but enough about
her. She must be nice.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, everyone wants my gig.
There you go.
So here's the problem. The fact is that the business community is still unable and they're not being honest about the extent to which we've been ripped off. They sort of want to turn to a guy like me and go, well, you know, you liked it when it was going up.
Right.
You know, you were greedy. That's why this happened. Well.
Oh, yeah, blame it on the people.
Yeah, and I just spoke to my own stock. I just got off the phone with my own stockbroker, who happens to be a buddy of mine before he was my stockbroker. So I'm stuck with
him.
But his attitude is exactly that same attitude. And let's look at the reality of where we need to go versus where we're headed. And this now this brings us to the part of the day that I like best, which is Bush bashing.
Okay. Go at it, Billy.
If you make it attractive for people to steal, they will. When you let somebody have the kind of compensation that they get to keep in the tens of hundreds of millions of dollars, and you don't tax it, I don't like taxes too much. I like what they buy when they buy services for people. I don't like it when they buy guns. But I think taxes make sense. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a tax that would really make sense. How about 95% tax of everything over $10 million
a year? Sure.
If you make $100 million, you might be willing to steal because maybe you'll spend 18 months in prison. Mm-hmm. But maybe for $10 million, you won't.
Right.
And that's why, even today, if we look at this, at everything Republican and finance, we are just totally getting screwed. You know, we had this crazy thing that I'd never seen before, which were no deficit. What do you call it?
Right. Yeah, budget surpluses.
Surplus, I don't even know the word.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a new word for me, thank you.
Yeah.
So we had these surpluses for the first time in my life. I'm 50-something. And now, all of a sudden, well, first of all, the funny thing was how they talked about them like they were going to be here 10 years.
Right.
Well, that was crazy. So why was it that all the people who were supposedly running this country were talking that way when stupid people like me know better? You know?
Yeah. I think we all knew better. And there were a lot of people who were even censuring Al Gore for suggesting that he wanted to, you know, have the lockbox and all that to protect the surpluses. Because how can you say that you have a surplus when the country is $5 trillion in debt?
But it turns out Al Gore didn't get the tenor of the people. We're greenier than that.
Okay.
We all want the opportunity. Who knew? We wanted the opportunity to steal rather than the opportunity to help ourselves and each other.
Well, I don't think we are that greedy, and I don't think that that's the we. I think that, you know, the we that you're talking about there is a small bunch of crooked politicians, frankly.
One quick point of personal privilege.
Yeah, and we got to wrap it up here quickly, Billy.
Why do you have Stan Monteith on? And I didn't realize you were running a special "These People Are Crazy" segment. But the other reason is that the program that Stan Monteith appears on.
We got about 10 seconds here, Billy.
Stands Peter Werby and me.
Yeah. Oh, really? Incredible. Incredible. Well, thanks for letting me know. Billy, thank you very much for the call. I truly appreciate it. Mac in Santa Fe, we'll come to your call right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
There are over 70 million Americans who suffer from arthritis. But for arthritis pain relief, there's only one Aleve, the medicine more and more doctors are recommending for all-day relief of pain. Doctors know Aleve can stop tough pain all day with fewer pills than Tylenol. And Aleve works right at the site of arthritis to provide fast, effective relief. Get relief doctors recommend. Aleve, arthritis pain relief that's all day strong, all day long. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain. Comparisons based on minimum 24-hour label dosing.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Scientists want to know more about how noise affects marine mammals, but first they need to know more about the mammals themselves. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. People are getting more concerned over noise in the marine environment, and especially the impact of noise on marine mammals. For example, beaked whales have stranded themselves on numerous occasions when U.S. Navy vessels were using sonar nearby. The National Research Council recently completed a report on noise in marine mammals with support from the Office of Naval Research and several other federal agencies. The report says more work still needs to be done to understand the nature of this problem. Darlene Ketten worked on the study. Ketten is a senior researcher at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. She says people are trying to assess the hearing of some marine mammals and when noise starts to change their behavior.
We can put a sound source into the water and see whether or not the animals deviate on their normal swimming pathways. This was done with gray whales, for instance, off the coast of California, with lower-level sounds to see at what distance the animals could perceive the sound source and whether they change their path.
In the discussion about noise and marine mammals, Ketten says one of the big unknowns is the location of all these creatures. She says the whereabouts and migration patterns of some marine mammals are well known, but that does not apply to every species. For example, beaked whales spend a lot of time diving into deep water, and people don't see them very much. Ketten says the consequences of loud noise on marine mammals could be serious, especially if it affects behavior in areas used for breeding or feeding. She says if we want to know how noise affects these creatures, we need to know more about where they are and how they use the ocean. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
To the vast left-wing conspiracy. The liberal media take no imitations. This is it, the IE America Radio Network. Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Program. And we have Mac on the phone in Santa Fe. Mac, welcome to our radio home.
Thanks, Tom, for your clarification of the democracy cycle, from democracy through the cycle and back to democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's great, with the help of you and Pete Werby and Mike Malloy.
And Nancy Skinner is doing a great job, too.
I think personally, I have great confidence in the cumulative wisdom and honesty of the American people. And
thank you.
I think we're going to come out on top.
And I think so, too.
It's a big help.
You're welcome. Thank you for that call. I really appreciate your calling in, Mac, and participating in our program here. If you want to call, it's our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And I do think that things go in cycles. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I don't think that democracy is doomed. I don't think that that's one of the cycles that things goes in. That certainly hasn't been demonstrated. In fact, absolutely the opposite has been demonstrated. The tribal people, and I have lived with, worked with, and hung out with tribal people from the Arctic, from the Dene people, the Inuit people, to the North America, to several Native American tribes in North America, to tribal people in South America. I've worked in Uganda with the Ik and the Keremoja and the Keremojong region in the 1980s, with Aboriginal people in Australia. Democracy is the standard way that human beings organize themselves. In tribal cultures, democracy is what rules. And it's not just tribal people. It's not just human beings. It turns out there's this amazing article published in Science magazine back in January of this year. Democracy wins hands down over despotism when it comes to making choices in an animal group. What these folks did was the conventional wisdom was that in animal groups there was like this alpha male who would make all the decisions. Well, it turns out, there is usually an alpha male or an alpha female. With wolves, for example, it's the alpha female. But that's largely just a sexual position, a sexual role. Let's not go there. The person who has the greatest number of potential sexual partners in those kinds of societies. But in terms of what the group does... And they find this right across all mammals, from water buffaloes to zebras to dogs and cats, right across all of them. Particularly herding animals, the way that they work is not that the alpha party animal goes charging off and everybody follows. That doesn't happen. What they pointed out in this study was that a few animals will go off to the west, a couple will go off to the east, just a little bit, like they get 10, 20, 30 feet away from the group, a couple to the south, a couple to the north. And when more than 50% have begun wandering in a particular direction, then the entire herd begins to follow. And the ones who initiate that follow absolutely no pattern. What it is a democracy among animals. This is wired into our genes. Tony in Washington, D.C., welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you for the show. It's been a fresh, new, middle perspective to the political diaspora, and happy Mother's Day to your wife and her mother.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tony, and the same to yours.
Thank you so much. And to the IE family. Is there a possibility, and I see it almost like you winch when you hear Green Party, and then some Democrats call and say, well, I'm going to vote my conscience, almost like doing the stoic act of falling on one's sword before giving up one's, just doing what is needed for the better community than one's personal beliefs. But could you possibly do a show on the commonality of what's needed rather than, Rome and this right-wing Republican Party have taken over the Republican Party, started in the 70s. That's over 30 years.
Right.
It seems to be more pragmatic and that's arduous task for the community.
Yes.
If the Greens get on a bike that's already rolling instead of trying to invent one that needs to be constructed and reconstructed and argued upon, I think it would be more beneficial to start that now instead of coming in and saying that, you know, I stand on the mountain alone and damn everybody else.
I agree, Tony. Yeah, I agree, and that is a good topic for a show. I wrote an article about this that was published on commondreams.org some time back, and if you go to tomhartman.com and click on the link that says for my commentaries on politics, or if you go to commondreams.org and just scroll down to my name where they've got the commentators down in the lower right-hand corner and click on my name, you'll find it. The article was called How to Take Back America. And what I suggested was that I think most people don't realize that the kind of democracy we have in the United States is different from the kind of democracy that most European countries have and other you know, fully developed democracies around the world. There are about 84 of them by most definitions. And in that, our democracy preceded all the rest of them, and many of them came along after John Stuart Mill in 1848 wrote his book on liberty and proposed that proportional representation would enhance democracy. Back in the 1780s, when the Constitution was being put together, James Madison and Alexander Hamilton, who were political foes but worked together to get the Constitution passed, wrote this series of kind of debates in the newspapers that were called the Federalist Papers when they were aggregated later. And Madison, in Federalist Number 10, goes into this long thing about how important it is that factions, which was the phrase that they used, the word that they used back then to describe political parties, that factions should never emerge because the way that they were organizing the voting in the United States, in this new nation that was being formed, was a winner-take-all, first-past-the-post form of voting, which means that you've got an entire community of people, very large community, in some cases entire states, you know, voting for two senators. Of course, they weren't voting for senators back then. They were appointed by governors, but in any case, voting for representatives, and that only one candidate could win. So if you had a third of the people who were in favor of one particular party or point of view, if they didn't have that 51% necessary, they would be absolutely unrepresented. And so Madison was arguing that the way to solve this problem, because he didn't have a better solution in 1785, the way to solve this problem was for there never to be political parties. They had basically one party, one group. It was the Federalists, who all believed that there should be a federal government. Well, when the Federalists started, you know, going off the rails during the administration of George Washington and into the Adams administration, Jefferson broke with them and said, no way, we're not going to have anything to do with this. You guys are leading us back into monarchy, or at least feudalism, and said, we want to go back to democracy. And he created the Democratic Republican Party, which later became known as the Democratic Party. And the Federalists melted down and reincarnated as the Whigs, and then they melted down and reincarnated as the Grand Old Party, the Republicans. But the point is that in Europe, they have a system where if 30% of the people vote green, for example, then 30% of the elected officials come from the Green Party. Mm-hmm. It's called proportional representation. And instant runoff voting produces the same result. And that's happening in some communities in the United States. But right now, in the United States, we've got this winner-take-all thing. So the Greens, as we've seen, can, and it's not just the Greens, of course, can pull away votes from the major parties. And we basically can only have two parties in America until we fix this problem.
I agree with what you were saying. I think Lonnie Guinier, a noted author and a professor, stated the same thing in the Clinton administration. I said, I'm more green than I am Democrat.
Right.
But it seems like somebody always calls up and say, you know, give me a bathtub full of blood and let me choke rather than deal with the situation. That's like sticking your head in the sand and watching those tanks run right over your butt.
Yeah.
But I thank you for listening to me, and I'll let someone come on and give their opinion.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tony, for joining us here on the Tom Hartman program. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Good point. And I, in my article, this one called How to Take Back America, what I suggest is that people who are consider themselves Greens or progressives should consider to do so, but that for the purposes of the 2004 election, they should vote Democratic almost regardless of who is there. If for no other reason, and I didn't mention this in the article, but in my observation since then, and this is so important, because the party in power, the president, the party that controls the executive branch, nominates the judicial appointments and is going to stack the Supreme Court. And the direction that it's going right now, I mean, this candidate just today who was voted out of committee, and even Arlen Specter, the Republican from Pennsylvania, says, you know, this candidate, this woman from who's been nominated for the ninth district court, that's the San Francisco district, that she's too weird even for him. And yet he voted for her. You know, he voted with his party, but it's like, whoa, what's going on? And the point that I think it was Mac made a little earlier, he thanked us for the show, and I appreciate that. It reminded me of a thing I read in today's paper about Bill O'Reilly, who is on from noon to 2 Eastern time, the same slot time slot that we are. And this week was his first anniversary. He's on 352 stations. Amazing what you can do with the power of Fox money behind you. And there was this article that Matt Drudge ran in the Drudge Report a week or two ago, pointing out that Rush Limbaugh was just trouncing Bill O'Reilly in the ratings, that stations running O'Reilly were going down in flames and all this kind of stuff. And in fact, we've actually, last night I was giving a talk in Waitsfield, Vermont, about unequal protection, and somebody came up and said, how can we get a local station to carry your show during that slot? And I said, find a station that's carrying O'Reilly that's not happy, and go out and find some advertisers for them. You know, don't picket them, don't protest. That just, you know, that's what stations love, you know, is publicity. Instead, find advertisers, call local companies that already advertise on the radio or others that advertise in TV or newspapers, and find those local businesses who are run by people who voted for Al Gore and say, would you like to hear balanced voices on the radio? And when you have some advertisers, contact the radio station and say, hey, you know, IE America has this great programming all day long. You can run it on your radio station. There are people in your community who would like to advertise. But beyond that, I didn't mean this as a plug. I get back to O'Reilly. I think he's kind of gone off the rails here. He says, first of all, he says he's going to calm down or tone down his radio talk show. In fact, he says, today we'll be asking people if they would let their children attend a segregated prom. In other words, he's not going to just rant about politics. Then he says, the article says, but what doesn't make O'Reilly laugh is Drudge. He's being fed information by a powerful person or persons to make me look bad, says O'Reilly. There's that person, you know, there's these radio wars. That person, I think, in O'Reilly's mind is probably Rush Limbaugh, who himself, you know, always is the biggest station and the biggest program and the show prep for all the other shows. These rivalries are emerging on the right. And the reason that they're emerging is because talk radio on the right has become saturated. The marketplace for people who want to hear right-wing rants has reached a saturation level, and they're trying to bring more and more of this stuff to the marketplace. And stations are coming out as the second and third and fourth talk station in markets with more right-wing rants and more right-wing rants, and this one, this one, this one. And the market is saturated. More than half of the people who voted in the United States in the last presidential election voted for Al Gore. And if you add Al Gore to Ralph Nader, it was the largest electoral victory in the history of the United States. The largest number of people voting for a single presidential candidate or for a position. If you combine Gore and Nader, you can position it, you can define it either way. And those people are not finding anybody on talk radio who is talking to them and to their point of view. Except here on the IE America Radio Network and a few independent stations around the country. And so, you know, these rivalries are emerging, and we're starting to see the cracks. And this is what I don't remember if it was Mac or Tony commented about the, or maybe even Billy, the swings that we see, this pendulum going back and forth from right to left. The emerging Kevin Phillips in 1973 wrote the emerging Republican majority, and everybody went, oh yeah, yeah, right. it happened. And you know, it took 30 years, but it happened. And now this book has come out, the emerging Democratic majority, and I think that that's happening. So we have here O'Reilly saying, there is a plan to destroy my program for the benefit of these people, and he is carrying it out to the letter. I don't have time now to investigate exactly what's going on, so even though it makes me furious, there's nothing I can do about it. But someday I will find out. I know if any other journalist did what he does, he'd be fired. He really wants Matt Drudge's head on a pole. And, you know, it's really, Bill, get over it. The problem is not Matt Drudge. The problem is that there's too much right-wing talk on AM radio, and there are people who would like to hear from the radical middle. They'd like to hear somebody who's talking to what used to be called the center of America. That is, you know, the rest of us. I'm not a Trotskyite or something. I mean, I believe in democracy, and the democracy is an extraordinary, powerful, biologically organized form of governance that is built into us. And I believe that democratic governments play a role in ensuring this. And one aspect of that is ensuring an open and diverse media. And we're about to trash that with this whole deregulation fever that Michael Powell is beginning to jump back into. And you know, in 96, the Telecommunications Act, they pulled government regulation out and said, okay, we're going to let the free market decide who gets to control radio programming and content. And what happened? You've got Clear Channel out there giving huge campaign contributions to George Bush and organizing pro-war demonstrations across the United States. And where are the voices of dissent? They're marginalized. If this is going to expand, if this inhalation of the media in the United States is going to expand, in my opinion, we're at considerable risk. Here's a quote for you. Thomas Jefferson, our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. And freedom of the press depends on competition, and that competition requires the protection of small entrepreneurs. We'll be back.
Right turn, right turn, right turn, right turn back to the dealership. That's a typical test drive. Now, GM introduces the 24-hour test drive. Bring home a GM car or truck. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
Well, let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I didn't think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
America needs you, Harry Truman. Welcome back. We're wrapping up another week of helping you win the water cooler wars. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle with Tom Hartman. And I want to be sure to thank the folks at IE America and our affiliate radio stations across the United States for making this program possible and broadcasting it. Thanks to Steph for the great job you've been doing running the board this week, to Louise, our producer. Happy Mother's Day to my mom and to all you moms out there. Great week. We had Klaus here from Eugene, Oregon, just posted a message. He says, Tom, you had an interesting point on the relative percentage of judgers versus perceivers among the general populace. If we follow this reasoning further, might we find, in terms of proportional representation in government, in media, in education, what personality types might we wish to have in such positions? And my sense of it is that we want perceivers rather than judges, and historically we have had them, although there are times, I suppose, when it's useful to have judges. They make great military leaders, although it's really interesting. I think that Colin Powell is a perceiver, and I think that Dwight Eisenhower was a perceiver. Patton was certainly a judger. So, you know, it's one of those things you figure out kind of as you go along. What's the best and what's the best for the United States and how it works and all those sorts of things. Our key from the 10 Steps to Restore Democracy to America, our Bill of Rights for the 21st Century, for the last 2 hours. Number four, this a strong middle class is vital to democracy. This is such an important point. In 1792, James Madison defined government's role in promoting an American middle class, quote, by the silent operation of the laws which, without violating the rights of property, reduce extreme wealth toward a state of mediocrity and raise extreme indigence toward a state of comfort, end quote. To say that somebody who earns millions a year by arbitrage works that much harder than a middle-class wage earner is simple nonsense. We recommend restoring inflation-indexed income tax and inheritance tax rates to those that were extant from the 30s to the 60s during the golden era of the American middle class. Well, folks, the week has ended. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back here on Monday. Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Happy weekend.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. Disorder from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Copyright.